we celebrate the day of the 13th Sunday of Ordinary Time. In our Gospel today, we will hear Jesus' words, "No one who sets a hand to the plow and looks to what was left behind is fit for the kingdom of God." We are looking forward. We are looking for our salvation. We are looking to be one day with God in heaven. Brothers and sisters, let us acknowledge our sins and so prepare ourselves to celebrate the sacred mysteries.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. When the days for Jesus' being taken up were fulfilled, he resolutely determined to journey to Jerusalem, and he sent messengers ahead of him. On the way, they entered a Samaritan village to prepare for his reception there, but they were not welcome him, because the destination of his journey was Jerusalem. When the disciples James and John saw this, they asked, "Lord, do you want us to call down fire from heaven to consume them?" Jesus turned and rebuked them, and they journeyed to another village. As they were proceeding on their journey, someone said to him, "I will follow you wherever you go." Jesus answered him, "Foxes have dens, and birds of the sky have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to rest his head." And to another he said, "Follow me." But he replied, "Lord, let me go first and bury my father." But he answered him, "Let the dead bury their dead, but you go and proclaim the kingdom of God." And another said, "I will follow you, Lord, but first let me say farewell to my family at home." To him, Jesus said, "No one sets a hand to the plow and looks to what was left behind is fit for the kingdom of God." The Gospel of the Lord.
Starting in the liturgy of the Church, another liturgical time, the ordinary time. But during at least last three Sundays, we always had another celebration ahead of this ordinary time, like Blessed Trinity, like Corpus Christi. And finally today, for the first time in a long, long time, we can use this green color as the main color of our celebration, and a color that signifies also this ordinary time. And we will use it for a long, long time, because we will use it until November, until we start Advent of the next liturgical year. We probably like ordinary time because it gives us a chance to follow the readings of one gospel, this year the Gospel of St. Luke. We will be on a kind of road trip. Maybe you have noticed that the first verses from our Gospel today are when Jesus, as the Gospel says, resolutely determined to journey to Jerusalem. The Greek says, "He set his face." And in the prophet Isaiah, in his seventh song, we can read, "I set my face like flint." It is our journey that we start today throughout the whole Gospel of St. Luke. And we will be closer and closer again to Jerusalem, where we know what happened. I would like to illustrate this determination by looking at a controversy surrounding Pope Francis. The Pope has been subject to many controversies, some real, but also some manufactured by the press. Maybe the last one, what you could hear or see through the mass media, is that the Pope will change the prayer of our Father. Did you hear about this? I used this explanation for one of our daily mass, but I decided that it would be also good that the whole congregation can listen to this. What we know through mass media is that Pope woke up one morning and he decided that it is nothing else to do in the church, that everything is perfect and we need to do something. And this something will be to change the prayer of our Father. This is what we can read in or watch in mass media. Of course, this is not the truth. And actually, what Pope thinks to do has a lot of sense. Pope did approve the new translation of Our Father only for Italy and for that language. The change relates to the sixth petition. And the sixth petition, the prayer of Our Father, is lead us not into temptation. This translation goes back to the Latin translation that says, et ne nos inducas in tentationem. Literally, we can translate this, don't induce us into temptation. Now, as Pope Francis points out, God doesn't literally lead someone into temptation. The devil does that. St. James says that when tempted, no one should say, God is tempting me. And the Catechism of the Catholic Church states that the Greek verb in this sixth petition, lead us not into temptation, is, as the Catechism says, difficult to translate by a single English word. The Greek means both, do not allow us to enter into temptation and do not let us yield to temptation. For some of you who speak Spanish, you know that probably the Spanish translation is a little bit better because it says, no nos dejes caer en tentación. Do not let us fall into temptation. In few words, to explain this in very easy way, it is not God who leads us to temptation. But we ask God in this prayer that we cannot be put in the position of temptation, that God will save us from this moment of temptation. So God doesn't literally lead into temptation, but yes, He does allow temptation. Here's the reason. If by God's grace I resist temptation, I take power from it. If instead I give in, it takes power from me. Either way, it should lead us to humility. If I fall, I ask forgiveness. If I resist, I give God the credit. But there is also in this translation something more. The word for temptation can also refer to trial or test. I am asking God in this petition that God do not allow a great trial, a greater trial that I can bear. We probably have it pretty easy in our lives, but we can think of many, many Christians in other places, in times that they undergo persecution. Recently, we heard about the 7 martyr bishops from Romania that Pope Francis beatified in last May during his visit in this country. One of them, Vasil, the communist arrested in 1948. They offered him a very comfortable life as a puppet bishop. But he responded, "Neither my faith nor my country is for sale." But the communists, of course, they knew how to break a man. They put the bishop into prison, isolation. They deprived him of food, water, sleep. They kept telling him again and again that he is the enemy of the country of the people, a toll of oppressors. They tortured him, mutilated and crippled him, breaking him physically and also mentally. And finally, he died after only 2 years in this prison on May 10, 1950. I ask myself sometimes, what about me? Could I endure such a trial, such a test? And really, I honestly doubt it. When we say in this prayer, "Lead us not into temptation," we are praying also that we would not be put in this kind of position. But you know, rather than worry what might happen tomorrow, it is best to pray using other petitions from the prayer Our Father, like "Give us our daily bread," but also "Lead us not into temptation." God, please do not send a trial, a test beyond my endurance. Yet we also pray, "Thy will be done." As I pointed at the beginning, we are on a journey to Jerusalem. You know what happened there. But let us take this journey one step at a time. Next Sunday, 4th of July weekend, and we will have some powerful scriptures. And at the end of the month, we have Jesus teaching his disciples the prayer Our Father. So we will have the opportunity again to pass through all these petitions, all this aspect of our basic prayer. For today, Jesus tells us to set our hands to plow and not look back. Above all, we want to persevere. "Keep me, God, from temptations that would overwhelm me. I know my weaknesses. Do not send a trial that would break me. Let me be strong in spreading your word, but first of all, keep me in your mercy. Amen.